You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
I have Josh Nelson. His blog is filmology.com. It's spelled with a PH. Hi there, Josh.
Good afternoon.
So, the McConaissance, Matthew McConaughey, loved True Detective, loved Dallas Buyers Club, Interstellar.
There's a lot of McConaissance love in the studio.
There's good prospects. Christopher Nolan, don't love the Batman films. Know that you do.
Yep.
Good director, though. Knows what he's doing. Actor knows what he's doing. I tell you what, I want to have a listen to a part of the film, but tell us, what's the basic setup? Without giving too much away, what happens?
Okay, so early on it becomes clear that the Earth into which the audience is invited is a dying Earth, and most of the institutions have closed down. We hear there's references to the military no longer exists in America, that food resources in particular are dying off rapidly, and the focus has now gone into rural farming, in which we enter Matthew McConaughey, who's an ex fighter pilot / aeronautical engineer. He's a widower, he has two young children, and he lives with, I think it's his wife's father, played by John Lithgow. And through a series of chance circumstances, I'll put it that way so I don't have to give the long-winded version, he stumbles upon a top-secret NASA program where they're looking for alternate planets that may sustain human life in the future. Okay. And he ends up on this project in outer space to boldly seek out new worlds.
Okay. Look, let's have a listen to, firstly, we were talking about podcasts yesterday. There's a great one called Studio 360, a bloke in New York, get some great people in the studio. One of those is Christopher Nolan, the director. Just have a little listen to the man, again, Batman trilogy guy, talking about his feelings on the film, its design and the audience experience.
From a design point of view, myself and my designer, Nathan Crowley, we decided early on that we didn't want the appearance of things to be guessed at in terms of how will people's trousers look in the future, how will their hairstyles be, what will a truck look like in the future. We're asking so much of the audience in terms of absorbing a set of ideas, going on a big journey. I wanted everything to be relatable. You know, when I was a kid, people were looking off the planet. They were looking, okay, how can we use technology to explore our place in the universe? I think one of the themes of Interstellar is, maybe we should get back to that. Wouldn't that be exciting?
So, Josh, does he achieve that goal?
It's pretty obvious from the beginning of the film that that seems to be his intention. One of the issues I have is I think the film goes almost too far to emphasize that as a human race we've stopped looking into scientific endeavors. We're not really looking to save the planet. We're just looking to kind of bug out while, you know, before it sort of peters out with the whimper.
Right.
Which, in a sense, contradicts the whole idea of a large-scale, top-secret NASA installation that has been funded and which is shooting multiple missions off into various corners of the
galaxy. Well, that's still possible in that sort of world, but obviously there's a part of that that didn't convince you. It seems inconsistent internally.
It does, and I think it's because it overstates one aspect in order to kind of compensate for, the broad theme that he's trying to explore there. The film itself doesn't really explore that throughout it. It's more just a kind of a setup or an entry point into the narrative itself. And the film, in a sense, this film riffs on and reminds me of so many various other space epics, and the obvious one that people have been talking about is Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey, particularly in terms of...
Oh, so this one hints at an origin story in some way, does it?
Less an origin story than this idea of venturing into space for sort of the savior of humanity, but a look into the human soul. And like the end of this film gets quite esoteric in one sense, in the same way that Kubrick's film is clearly dealing on the level of metaphor and symbolism.
They kind of get lost in it. So does this film end up getting lost in its own symbolism and its own metaphors?
It moves into what the characters call the fifth dimension, which unfortunately for me, and this is probably a good segue point to the question of science, despite the fact that Nolan explores and touches on a number of key issues related to physics, theory of relativity and time moving in different circles compared to Earth, and themes that we've seen in films like Contact, like this idea of science versus faith and religion, it really tries to resolve that issue by falling back on the fifth element, and that is the fifth element is love. And I found that a bit of a cop-out, really. And as much as I am willing to go with sentimentality at times, for me...
So explaining the science with a bit of spirituality.
That's what it doesn't really give too much away. This is how the film tries to resolve some of these philosophical and scientific questions through this very general concept of love. And I just didn't buy it. And I think this is the best and worst of Nolan in this film. The stuff on the spaceship, the middle section of the film where he's dealing with the mission and the crew, which is Matthew McConaughey and Anne Hathaway, and there's a couple of other...
Anne Hathaway, good in this?
Okay. Look, I think given the number of good actors in this film, Michael Caine is another one, they're really hampered by the script. I mean, Matthew McConaughey is excellent form, but the one thing that I think really kept me out of this film was I didn't have any emotional connection, and I think Nolan really wants us to have that emotional bond right. with the characters. You know, I think the tagline for this film on the poster could have been, "In space, no one can hear you cry," because we hear and we see characters bawling their eyes out repeatedly, but I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel the sense of hopelessness that characters are supposed to feel. I didn't feel the moral question or the ethical question for Matthew McConaughey's character that he basically has to abandon his children on Earth for the greater good, and can he get back to them, which should have been such a sort of a structuring, emotive kind of connection to the character, but I didn't feel it. There's only really one or two scenes where it sort of starts to scratch the surface, and I think Nolan misses the beats, the emotional dramatic beats in this film seem off. But look, from a visual point of view, it's remarkable. I saw this on IMAX, and it's an incredibly immersive film. He's shot it on film, and it was projected in IMAX in 70mm, which is kind of wonderful in these days, and he's avoided CGI. There's almost no CGI, so he's gotten back to kind of good old-fashioned sort of techniques with like blue screening and so on, but you can't tell.
Blue screens and models and those sorts of
absolutely
things.
Absolutely. Right? It looks stunning. You know, it is that kind of that best and the worst. There are scenes and sequences in here, particularly action sequences, which he, you know, has such a deft touch in directing. We saw that in the Batman films.
Yeah.
But when he's trying to deal with the character drama and...
Okay, well, let's go to a bit of character drama, a bit of the science and a bit of the, I guess, the philosophy, the setup. You're just going to play you one brief scene from the film where Matthew McConaughey's character gets called into his daughter's school. So this is in the beginning, close to the beginning of the film. He gets called into the school because his daughter has brought one of his old textbooks in, and the school is not happy. Have a listen.
Murph is a great kid. She's really bright, but she's been having a little trouble lately. She brought this in to show the other students the section on the lunar landings.
Yeah, that's one of my old textbooks. She always loved the pictures.
It's an old federal textbook. We've replaced them with the corrected versions.
Corrected?
Explaining how the Apollo missions were fake to bankrupt the Soviet Union.
You don't believe we went to the moon?
I believe it was a brilliant piece of propaganda that the Soviets bankrupted themselves, pouring resources into rockets and other useless machines.
Useless machines?
And if we don't want a repeat of the excess and wastefulness of the 20th century, then we need to teach our kids about this planet, not tales of leaving it.
You know, one of those useless machines they used to make was called an MRI. And if we had any of those left, the doctors would have been able to find the cyst in my wife's brain before she died instead of afterwards. And then she'd have been the one sitting there listening to this instead of me, which had been a good thing because she was always the calmer one.
That sounds decent.
You reckon? Maybe I'm being nitpicky, but for me, you could have made the exact same point without resorting to over-the-top conspiracy theories in the context of a school institution and just said the focus needs to be on farming, not on, you know, intergalactic
travel. It didn't
persuade
you, did it? The internal logic of the film didn't win you over.
No, the key thing I think that led me astray with this film or didn't really connect me to it was the difference between the kind of mawkish sentimentality of the character drama and the structure, and the first and third acts felt really clunky. And I think it's because, at least in that sort of the climax of the film, it's caught between trying to do something very symbolic and metaphoric, like we see in the Kubrick film, and something quite literal as well. And when you throw love in there as the sort of the deus ex machina to kind of, you know, resolve all this in one fell swoop, I just didn't buy it.
No, look, I think similar criticisms were made of Contact. Look, let me read a few of your Facebook messages, actually. We were asking whether when the science worked and didn't work in films. Doug says, Gravity, a movie that was full of scientific and physics errors. Yes, but it was so much fun. Derek says, speaking as an SF fan, I've seen a lot of science fiction movies. A handful got most things right, but I think 2001 is by far the most accurate about the science as we know it. And Daniel agreeing, 2001, better than any of them, way ahead of its time.
On 774 ABC Melbourne, you're listening to Raphael Epstein.
I want to talk about 2 Days, One Night, which is a French film. And because we can, we're going to play you the trailer. Have a listen. Practice it. See how good your school French is.
Excusez-moi de vous demander ça, mais pour moi c'est important de le voir parce qu'il peut m'aider à pas perdre mon travail, à pas aller au chômage.
La prime, nous, c'est parce qu'on a bossé qu'on l'a.
Mais je sais.
T'as pas honte, franchement, de venir nous piquer notre fric.
Non, je la ferme pas, dégage.
On a déjà combien qui acceptent de perdre la prime?
4 avec toi. J'en ai encore 9 à voir.
Tu vas y arriver, j'en suis sûr.
Whatever they're saying, it sounds fantastic because it's said in French. Let me guess, is this the Marion Cotillard film?
Oh, it is.
And this is made by the two brothers, and they film everything in sequence.
They do, and they film with long single takes in order to maximise the connection with the performances.
Yeah, and they did some of their takes like 70 or 80 times, apparently.
Look, the Dardenne brothers, I think they're incapable of making a bad film.
Okay, so this is good.
Oh, this is great.
Okay.
These are Belgian filmmakers. They've been around quite some time. One of their earlier films, which I think won the Palme d'Or back in the 90s, was Rosetta, a film which was one of those first films that left me absolutely shattered. And they seem to get a reputation for very dark or sort of dour, working class, social class, character-driven
films. Yeah, they're
kitchen
sink drama people, aren't they?
But not in a kind of an over-the-top way, just in a sense of foreboding and helplessness and characters trying to kind of eke out a sense of hope. Well, their last two films, so this one and the previous one, The Kid with the Bike, maybe they've taken cinematic Xanax because there's almost a sense that they're starting to see that through resilience, people can triumph. Not that necessarily the characters do in a traditional Hollywood sense, but just not in the dour sense. Anyway, so look, this film is about Sondra, a woman played by Marion Cotillard. She works for a solar company. She's been on extended leave through mental illness. And there's a ballot that has taken place while she was away in which people have voted either to take their €1,000 bonus or to vote for her to keep her job within the company.
So they've got to choose between their bonus or her coming back to work.
And because we get the sense early on in the film that there's been some vote tampering and that one of the managers may have influenced the vote, she's given the weekend to convince her colleagues, you know, going around door knocking one by one, to basically plead with them to keep her job. And, you know, we see this is hence the 2 days, one night of the title. Look, it's such a simple structure because basically we see the same conversation with variations with Marion Cotillard door knocking these various people. But what the film is really clever to do is play with the variation in terms of the response. And what you think at the beginning is going to be quite a cut and dried kind of moral issue where, sure, you know, where it's Marion Cotillard, we're completely on her side. Why would anyone in their right mind want to say no to Marion Cotillard for anything, really? Yeah. We start to see that these are people who are really struggling as well. These are people who are one step above the breadline. So, you know, we start to see these divided sympathies. We start to see how important that €1,000 is for some of these families and these other people. And we also see the toll that it's taking on her, someone who's trying to kind of deal with a mental illness, and this is really sort of thrusting her back into the kind of coalface of that. It's such a fascinating drama, and it really works on both the level of a character-driven piece, and I already thought she was extraordinary, and she is amazing in this. She really loses herself. I mean, it's a little bit unusual for the Dardenne brothers to cast such a well-known actor, but she disappears into the role, and I wouldn't be surprised if sort of awards come knocking in the face of this. But it works on a broader political level as well. I mean, this is kind of Darwinian capitalism. This is you force the workers to fight amongst themselves for the biggest piece of the pie, and the kind of humanity gets lost in that. And there's one kind of key moment in the film where I just completely fell apart, and that is when she meets one of the fathers, one of the colleagues, who has voted for her to lose her job and take the bonus in that earlier vote, and then just burst into tears as if to sort of say, how could I? I'm so sorry. I'm totally going to vote the other way this time. And she starts consoling him when up until that point it's been the other way around. And it's just such a clever film in terms of the way in which it uses that repetition and simplistic structure, but to really drive home the drama. And look, the end is absolutely perfect. And it's an end that, you know, this film could have ended in a number of ways, but I think it finds a very happy medium in terms of the outcome.
Highly recommended?
Oh, highly recommended. I think it's only on limited release. You won't find this in the multiplexes, but yeah, 2 days, one night is just a great, simple 90-minute character piece.
Okay, that sounds good. I've heard about the Dardenne brothers and never seen any of their films. Josh, thank you for coming in.
Pleasure.
Josh Nelson's blog is Filmology. It's spelt with a PH. We were talking about Matthew McConaughey, Christopher Nolan's Interstellar, which is on wide release, and 2 days, one night, the French film with Marion Cotillard. A bit tougher to see, but Josh loved it.